Good evening, afternoon, or morning, depending on when you might be tuning in to Who Are These Spiritualists? My name is Stacey Sherman, and I am the host of the monthly podcast radio show for Lilydale Radio titled Who Are These Spiritualists? This show is near and dear to my heart as I'm passionate about living the life of a spiritualist in the science, philosophy, and religion of spiritualism. But more important than that, I am interested in building a collective, a community of people who are also living the lifestyle of spiritualism and practicing it in their daily lives, letting people know that, you know what, we're not really alone. And we're not isolated in our beliefs or our sharing. So I'm really excited for this month's episode that I'll be bringing you. Today's spiritualist that I have with me, my guest, is the Reverend J.Y. Bartlett or Joe Bartlett. And they are a ordained spiritualist minister and certified medium, national spiritualist teacher with the National Spiritualist Association of Churches, and they have been an intuitive and spiritual development teacher since 2001. I was going to say 2001. And they are the author of several books on mediumship and intuition development. I own a few of them and love them, including the Spiritual Symbols Workbook, Spirit Energy, Spirit Circle Games, Signs from Spirit Journal, Intuitive Symbols Coloring Book, and the Led by the Light series of books for developing intuitive mediumship abilities. So we are excited to have them on our show today. Just to give you a few little things before they come on, is we do air Who Are These Spiritualists on Facebook Live or on Lilydale Radio the third Sunday of each month, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you are a spiritualist practicing the religion, the science, and the philosophy of spiritualism, and would like to be a guest on my show, please feel free to reach out to me. I can be found at spiritualiststacy.com or email spiritualiststacy@gmail.com. I have a few guests already lined up for the next couple months, but love to keep the program up and running and encourage you to not only look at my program, but there are many programs that are ran by Lilydale Radio. A lot of mediums and spiritualists, each giving a weekly podcast on everything and anything to do with spiritualism, mediumship, our spiritual living, lifestyle, spiritual lifestyle, healing, all kinds. You can find that there are just a ton. So I do suggest and ask that you look into some of those programs too. So without further ado, I will welcome our guest, Reverend Joe Bartlett. All right. So I am back with my guest, Reverend Joe Bartlett. Thank you for joining me this day and sharing all of this great information. Of course, the first question I ask everybody is, how in the heck did you find spiritualism?
So I found spiritualism, you know, by accident, as I think probably many people do. I had moved to Rochester in the fall of 2000 with a friend, and we went to a psychic fair together, and I can't remember who I saw. I might still have the recording of my message or my reading somewhere, but he saw Marty Hughes, who is in Lilydale and just retired, and Marty said, you need to go check out Plymouth Spiritualist Church. And so we did, whether it was like that next weekend or whenever, you know, we went together because it's easier with company, and kept going, essentially. And for me, it was that I found a place where I had the opportunity to understand what was going on with me, like the things I'd experienced all of my life that didn't make any sense, that I didn't know how to do in a healthy way. And like with healing especially, but you know, sensing other people's energy and just being overwhelmed all of the time. And it gave me an opportunity, well, a community, right, of these like people that also experience these things, that I could talk with them about it and then learn about it. And yeah, so that's what happened to me.
Yeah, and I think historic wise, I think Rochester is kind of known, like, so by the way, for those of you, I know you're tuning in from all over the world, we're talking about Plymouth Spiritualist Church in Rochester, New York. So it's not that far away from Lilydale, a couple like hours in a car or something, not far, if that. Yeah. But it's kind of known, I think, if I remember correctly, as like the mothership of like one of the first
church. It's the mother church of modern spiritualism, because that's where the of course, everybody's name is going to completely escape me now. The Fox sisters. The Fox sisters were from around that area in Hydesville, New York. And yes. When they did their first presentations and things like that, was it like Corinthian Hall in Rochester? Like it was in Rochester. So that's where it all began, apparently.
Apparently, yes.
In the U.S. anyway.
Yes.
A lot of spiritualism in the U.S. It's not like it just started then and nobody had ever talked to anybody in spirit before that.
Right. That is true. I wanted to touch on, the answer to your question. So you probably grew up sensitive. Would that be the right word? Like aware
way too sensitive. Yeah. And, you know, and things, so many things are clearer in retrospect, right? In hindsight, you have hindsight. You're like, oh, that's what was happening. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. I get it. That's where, when I, you know, my friend in drama rehearsal had a headache and I was like, oh, I can help your headache. And I put my hands on her and her headache would go away. But then I would have the headache. I don't recommend that way of doing healing. I was always sensitive. And I think about back when I was a little kid and I remember seeing somebody in our breakfast room. And I wonder, and I think now it was probably my brother who had died when I was two, my oldest half brother. And I remember talking to people that weren't there and telling somebody about it and basically being told no, ghosts aren't real, and getting shut down, but always just being very, aware and sensitive. And I used to see things as a kid. That sounds like, you know,
I feel like that's
I did need counseling as a child, but not for that reason.
Yeah. Oh, how fun. Well, you know, and again, I want to, you know, my whole purpose of some of this show is really just sharing all of our experiences, because I think there's a lot of people out there in the world that have had these types of experiences, like, you know, when we were kids, oh, it's just your imagination. No, that can't be real, you know, and now it's as adults, we're kind of seeking, you know, our own truth now. Like, and so I just, it's always nice to hear. I know it sounds weird to say that it's nice to hear that people have had those problems, but I guess it brings us like minds together, right?
Yeah. No, it is nice to hear. It's validating and comforting to know that you're not alone, basically. Just like we like, you know, one of the things that we tend to like about mediumship is we know that we're not alone. We haven't been left behind. We haven't been just forgotten by our loved ones, still love us and are still around. And so it's the same kind of thing that, yeah, we want community. We want to know that we aren't alone in having whatever experiences it is that we're having. Yeah. And so learning like, oh yeah, the people had these feelings as a kid or saw these things as a kid or whatever and didn't quite get it. The people around them didn't get it. No, it's good. It makes total sense that feels good.
Yeah. So what drew you into, like, because some people will do mediumship or they'll talk about healing and they might practice other religions or other religious things. What drew you into becoming part of the like modern spiritualist movement, if you would? I know, right? There's a complex question.
No, it sounds very important. So I had an interesting kind of religious upbringing in the neither of my parents were religious. My mum was anti-religion after being brought up Roman Catholic and then Christian Science, and her dad being super into it. He founded a Christian Science church in Pau, France, where she grew up, like into it, you know, like very much like, and he was a strict guy. He was a bit strict and stern and you know, authoritarian. And so that's how he interpreted Christian Science, I believe. And so she really wasn't into religion at all. And my dad wasn't either, and they divorced when I was young. But I went to private school. In England, it was an Anglican school. And so I grew up with spirituality, really, because it was like we'd have morning assembly and hymns and a bit of a sermon. But it was like very, for me, it was very light. It wasn't this like, you know, no Bible thumping. Like what I grew up with, it's like elementary school, what I got from it was like, Jesus is a good guy. And he took care of, you know, the poor and the children and the sick. And you should do the same thing. You know, Jesus was very nice. Please also be this way. That was like, that was what I got from it. And I think back about, you know, like, cause I love like singing the hymns, and I liked singing, and like, so we got to sing every morning, and that was very nice. And I look back and I'm like, yeah, we also learned. I distinctly remember learning we all lived in a yellow submarine in elementary school as well. So that's, I don't know, I think about that. I was like, oh, that's an interesting combo. Jesus loves me and we all live in a yellow submarine. And then I moved to Barbados with my mom when I was 10. And for the first couple of years, I went to an Anglican school still as well as a private school. And then I switched to a Catholic school called The Convent.
Oh, gosh. And
that didn't work very well for me because I really wanted to, like, you know, I believed in God and like we didn't go to church or anything. I got plenty of, you know, church in school every morning or every day. And it just got a bit more strict in the convent in terms of like what you had to believe and who you were. And I was like, this is all very hypocritical. And I don't like this whole like everyone's born a sinner thing. That did not work for me. I was like, confession, no. Like, no, can't do it. I tried really, really hard, which is as is my way. And I just like, no, this doesn't make sense. And they're like, well, this is God. And this is the only God. And I'm like, well, if that's God, then God doesn't exist. That was my 13-year-old logic. And so I became the not at all popular, only atheist at the convent. And stayed an atheist for a while. And so I was really leery, all this to say, I was really leery about going to a church. It felt really weird to me because I was in my early 20s and it felt weird to me to be going to a church and like church. And I remember because I was in my 20s and I like to have a good time. And 10:30 on a Sunday morning was so early to be like up and showered and dressed and breakfasted and like somewhere. Like 10:30, why is it so early? I think about that now. I was like, man, I was sleeping in. I was up late and sleeping in, I guess. And I was out every weekend. I was in my 20s. Was, you know,
well, sure.
And moved to a new place and
oh,
having
God.
A good time, getting to know people, having a good time. So church on a Sunday was hard. And I also felt weird about it. It's like, oh, this religion thing, this church. I don't know. I don't know about that. But I liked the principles. They resonated with me. The golden rule, it's like, oh, it's familiar, and I can like abide by that. And I liked all of them. They resonated, and I really liked that it was about infinite intelligence, and the infinite intelligence in all of nature, in all of creation. And I was like, yeah, that resonates. That is what I believe. It's like putting words to stuff that I already had going on inside of me. I was like, oh, I don't know. I guess we'll check it out. We'll see. And then I started, you know, I was going every week, and then I signed up for Morris Pratt Institute and became a minister. I don't understand what happened, but.
And the rest is history, right?
I just go like, okay, let's take that exam. Sure, let's do that one. That sounds like fun.
Hold on. I'm going to mute. I have my dog. He has opinions too. He's trying to bring in opinions.
He just wants to weigh in, that's fine. Am I?
All right. Yes. Speaking of those, all of expression, you know, my lovely dog needed to express. So he did. Fine.
I have a cat who is quite loud at times. Her name is Princess Leia. And she does what we like. I like to call the yowl and prowl, or the prowl and yowl. And she just sounds like a baby that needs attention.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I just wanted to say, one of the things that you said kind of resonated and inspired just a thought of that idea of there isn't much pressure in becoming a spiritualist, like in the essence of, you know, you kind of just go into this church. You know, I noticed some people are changing the words to like community or centers. Yeah. You know, I think they're trying to get away from that word church, you know, which again, to me, Shamil Shamagal, like I just feel like Laverne and Shirley, whatever you want to call it. I just want to go somewhere that I feel welcomed, you know, and you know, honored by who I am. So it's very interesting. But the idea of, I always ask people this, infinite intelligence, when you first heard it.
What did I think it, what infinite intelligence meant? I mean, you're asking me to remember something that happened
a long time ago with a lot of lights going out.
I was like, oh, 2000 was a long time ago, Stacey. I'd probably been out drinking the night before as well. So did I even form any memories? Who knows? Wasn't that bad. I just, you know.
I know.
I just mostly like to sleep. Infinite intelligence. I think. Of course, now I'm forgetting my spiritualist principles, because he says like infinite intelligence, the creator, I think, and that, like, so, you know, that gave me something to hold on to in terms of a definition of like, well, what is that? And I'm sure it sparked some conversations about, well, what is infinite intelligence and what do you mean by that? But I think I've always felt, and especially years before that, I had lived in Western North Carolina, like literally out in the woods off on a mountain. I owned a mountain for a while, as much as one can own anything, especially not a mountain. It was off grid, and like I lived in an Airstream trailer for a few years, and so it's very much in nature much of the time, and really felt that presence of nature and the intelligence of nature, and connected with that you could, like, I could feel, you know, the forest, I could feel the woods and the trees, and I don't know, talk to them. I mean, they don't talk like we talk, but they talk, they communicate, right?
Yeah.
Just like spirit doesn't talk like we talk, but communicates nonetheless. And so I think that part really connected with me. You know, it's like, yes, there is this inherent intelligence and life, like, within all of these things, especially, you know, when you're out in nature and you can feel it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that's what I connected it to.
That's awesome. Well, thanks for that. That little, like, what I want to call it, that little, like, segue into another detour. Question.
Oh, there'll be lots of detours, don't worry.
We're gonna detour all over.
Yeah, you know, it means like meandering, you know. I do come back around though. Give me enough time and I'll come back around to where I started and we'll get on with it.
There we go. I love it. So then, speaking of that, in the essence of the science, you know, because spiritualism, no matter if you're with an organization or in an independent spiritualist organization, they really hold on to this idea of science, philosophy, and religion, you know, that we're kind of that three part. Do you find yourself attracted to one more than the other, or is it just an inner working of all of them?
So in general, I would say I'm, doesn't quite answer the question, but in general, I'm more attracted to, like, to the philosophy of spiritualism, as opposed to the mediumship demonstrations part of spiritualism, which are fine, which are cool, and also I feel are not the whole point. And so I don't know quite where that falls into the whole science, philosophy, and religion part, but it tends to be what spiritualist centers, churches, organizations tend to focus a lot on is the mediumship, like, you know, proving the mediumship and all of that, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. And also, like, when I was doing professional readings for a while, is what I was doing a lot of. I'm not really into like proving stuff to people. Like, that's not the point of it. That's not what it's about. That's not why we have this connection and communication, is not for me to prove to a skeptic or a doubter or whatever. I don't know. That, to me anyway, that's not like the point. The point of it is being able to receive wisdom so that we can live well, so that we can take care of each other, take care of the planet, have good lives, do the work that we need to do while we are in this physical existence, so that when we're not in this physical existence, I don't know, it's even cooler, I suppose, in some way. Or, you know, like, we, it's about, I think, you know, I think about life in general is about learning, about developing, about, you know, becoming more of who you are. And that we're apparently here for some reason that we decided was a good one. And we're here to do something, so we might as well do it. And so that then when we're not in this physical form, then we can get on with whatever it is that we're trying to do, which I think is probably have lots of experiences and heal through things and, you know, I don't know, just exist and live and experience. But, and I feel like getting too hung up on maybe it's the science, right? The proving of things, which is what science is about. I think that's detrimental to the whole thing and really to all of us. Like, because, you know, mediumship can be very healing for people, just to know that they're not alone, to know that they still have access to that wisdom, to that love, to that support. I don't know. But beyond that, I'm like, meh. You know, and the thing that's hard for me with the science piece, I love science. I live with a whole bunch of nerds and love them dearly. I love my nerd family. They're very much into science. And, you know, the thing with science is like, it needs to be this provable, repeatable thing, right? You have a hypothesis and then you experiment and, you know, you write stuff down, and that's what makes it science, at least according to the Mythbusters. If you just write stuff down and make notes, then it becomes a scientific experiment. But trying to like argue the science of spiritualism is hard, and I feel kind of pointless, because I feel like a lot of our abilities to measure, to do accurate, I suppose, scientific, whatever, proving of things isn't there. And just because whatever modern day science can measure or whatever, or not measure, doesn't mean that it's still not true or that it doesn't exist. And that's a tricky thing. And I don't know, I kind of don't see the point in it.
I totally hear you, Joe. I totally hear you, because like, for me too, like, it is nice, you know, I'm a demonstrating medium once, you know, mm-hmm. once in a while and all of that. And it's great to give somebody a message from a loved one who's crossed over, especially when they're in that grief process, no matter if it's been 1 year or 10 years, right? Because grief is just kind of something that we have to, once we experience it, we have to learn to maneuver with it, is how I feel.
Yeah.
But once that message was given, like for me, once I got, I remember like first time ever receiving a message, it was like, how did you know that stuff? You know?
Yeah.
It wasn't to see how many more mediums could be just as accurate. It was now like, holy cow, I live forever. So what's my job? Like, where do I gotta focus now? Like, shoot.
I do, and that's not to say that messages shouldn't, you know, do need to be evidential, do actually need to be connected with somebody and all of that. And yet that's also not kind of the point of it. And like, it shouldn't, I shouldn't, like, how do you even design an experiment for mediumship that would satisfy the scientific skeptic? You know, what is that? What does that look like exactly? It's Joe sits there and just like connects on command. I mean, like, what makes it that fact? As opposed to like, oh, well, Joe could just be making all that up, or, oh, Joe, they just got lucky, or like, you know, like, it's, I don't know.
Right.
And so, and there are certainly some things that, are recorded or like, I don't know that, I don't know. But yeah, it's just, that's just not my like thing that I don't feel a need to prove mediumship to people.
Well, and I like, and again, back to the philosophy, I just love to continually ask myself why, like for me, like that personal responsibility of like, okay, like you were saying, what's our purpose and where do we go from here? And that's where the philosophy or the religion in the idea of practice, like living it, living the philosophy is super important. Fun.
Yeah, because philosophy doesn't do you much good unless you put it into practice.
Exactly.
You can think about it all you want, but you gotta get on with it at some point. Actually do the things. I know. You gotta do the work. Oh,
I know. It is work. It is.
It is so much work.
It is.
It's good. I mean, we're gonna do something. You're gonna spend your time doing something. You might as well do some good work.
Do good work. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I have to say too, like one of the things that we talk about on Who Are These Spiritualists is, you know, a lot of people have this kind of, I don't know, misconception that this is something new, like it's new age or new, and it's been around the block for, you know, what, 175 years, the modern spiritualism, not like, like you said, Joe, in the beginning, we've been talking to spirit since we figured out how to even communicate. I don't know, like
it's not like it's a new thing that's our thing or something. It's like, you know, communicating with nature, with animals, with people and spirit is a thing that has been done for millennia.
Yeah, exactly. But that being said, we've been around. I mean, like you were talking Rochester, you know, being kind of that mother church. I stand corrected, not mothership, though. I think that
I'm sure you're not the first person who's called it the mothership.
But that being said, has there been any spiritualists that, you know, I mean, do you find the history of spiritualism fascinating, you know, or is it more like, is there anyone that kind of stands out to you that maybe inspired you?
Not in the history of spiritualism, really, which is, it's not the answer anybody wants. So I'm going to get myself in trouble and, you don't know what I'm about to say there. Now, might get myself in trouble. The thing that bothers me about, well, the history of spiritualism that, you know, that we have that's written is that, oh God, it's hard to read. It is, has it like, for the there may be stuff out there that's been more updated. The stuff that I've come across in my, like, you're supposed to read this now. It's like, oh my God, it's a snooze fest. I have ADHD, you know, it's, I am who I am. Like, I can't even sit still during this interview. And I'm a writer, so I'm up very much, you know, love the writing and the books and everything. I don't love history. I've never liked history that much because, well, history that you learn, in the history I learned in school was all about, like, you know, white men and battles and things. And I'm just like, who cares? And the history of modern spiritualism, you know, there's a lot of old white men in there as well. I mean, there are women, certainly. It's not... it's just not the kind of thing I'm really into. And at the same time, I'm not sure there are lots of very, very cool, awesome people that I just don't happen to know about. And so that's okay.
Well, and I think, you know, I think that one of the reasons I even want to have this show is to introduce people to other spiritualists. Like, you know, I remember one of my past guests was like, you know, we need to start honoring the people of today, like not just the people of, you know, the past.
Yeah.
So I think it's important to know, like, and you are not the first nor the last will I ever hear about some of those books. Like, I am an Andrew Jackson Davis fan, but he is like the worst. For some people, it's very hard to get through a book.
Yeah. You know? And for me also, like, with my, like, lived experience as well, as a transgender person, right, I'm just not super interested in hearing what some, like, white man has to say from, like, you know, a while ago, because it's, I know spiritualists, you know, I know they're part of the suffragist movement in I'm going to forget everybody's names. Susan B. Anthony spoke from behind the podium that's at Plymouth Spiritualist Church and all of that. And so, yeah, spiritualist, which otherwise I would not have been interested at all, right?
Right, right.
If it was just patriarchy, I'd be like, yeah, I'm out of here. Never mind. Mm-hmm. So, you know, spiritualism does have a lot going for it, modern spiritualism in that way already. And still, because of, you know, the times that it was, mm-hmm. is going to be more of that, you know, repressive patriarchal nonsense. I'm trying to keep it clean.
Doing a fantastic job.
I love it. It just doesn't really interest me to read, you know, in the time that I have. So, I mean, I studied all of it. I memorized all the names for all of my exams. I had the flashcards. I think I still have them.
Sure. I think I might have finally gotten rid of my flashcards, but yeah, no, I get it. And I think too, like, a lot of it is honoring where we're at now, you know, I mean, because really we are really coming into, you know, a changing world energetically. And I think we need to, you know, embrace a little bit of our, definitely our diversity. Yeah. And what we need to do, like, to, and I think that's why some people are really attracted to spiritualism now, because it's more like, I don't know, I grew up, you know, so I get you in your convent, because I grew up in a Catholic religion. It's like, wowzers, you know, so spiritualism definitely offered me that sense of free ability, right? To be the person, you can talk to God yourself.
You can have your own relationship. You can come up with your own understandings.
Exactly. Yeah. Just do it that way.
Yeah.
Exactly. So tell me though, because you've written some books, like you help teach people. I know I've read some of your books.
I don't know how that happened, but yeah, I know they're like, I put them right behind me. I wrote like a bunch of books.
There you are. Yeah. So what moved you into being a teacher, like sharing this for others, you know, and helping guide people in their development?
I've always loved teaching people. Like, even as a kid in school, I remember one year we had this terrible math teacher that like people could not, like, she wasn't great at it. And me and a friend of mine who became my best friend at the time, we ended up teaching math, because like people would, like, she'd explain it and people would like come to us and be like, can you explain it to us, please? And I loved it. I love teaching people stuff that I know. Like, that's so awesome to me, is like passing on that knowledge. Like, I learn something I get it, and I can like share it with others, and I learn more by doing so, which is, you know, the greatest way, the best way of learning something really well is to teach it to other people, because it really cements it for yourself, and you see the holes, and the people ask questions, and then you figure out the answers and all of that. In terms of mediumship and teaching that, I guess I'm just going to fall back on the spirit told me to response. Yeah. Because it is actually literally what happened is I had started doing readings, I think, and then I started a development circle, because, you know, the best way to like be in the energy is in a circle. And then I think in one of those meditations, I just got like this outline of like, you're going to write these three books, you know, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, okay, let me just take dictation. And then, you know, I guess I got on with it and wrote them. And then started teaching classes. Like, I was teaching when I was going to Plymouth, doing, so long ago, you know, doing various things. I can't remember what I did. I started up a student mediumship like program there to help like student mediums, you know, be able to do platform work at the church. And we had this whole like grading thing and the forms people could fill out if they got readings and he got so many points. And then, you know, you became like a official like student medium, you know, in the church and all of that. So I've always liked doing that stuff.
Yeah, that's awesome. So tell me, Joe, what is spirit pushing you at all, or I shouldn't say pushing, helping inspire or direct something new for you in your adventures into spiritualism?
I told spirit to leave me alone for a bit. I'm like, okay, I've done it. I've done all the things. I wrote all these books. I set up these courses. Like, can I have a break? Well, not a break, but you know, like, can I have like a little, like, can I have a little rest? So I'm honestly not completely sure. I've been in an interesting just land of for sometimes just trying to like keep my head above water. The last few years have been hard for a variety of reasons. Like my own health stuff in late 2018, I think, and then one of my kids started having struggles in 2019, and then we had the pandemic. And it's just been like, I just kind of stopped doing all the things. I stopped doing readings because I wasn't able to hold the space for people. Like, I realized that I wasn't in a place where I was going to be able to connect reliably, essentially, depending on where my energy was, myself, my own internal energy, because my chronic health stuff. And then also emotionally, I was in a place where I just, you know, I couldn't, I was like, I just needed to be there for me for a bit. Because so one of the really annoying thing, not annoying, is what I want to put it. One of the interesting things about spirit and working with spirit is I found myself saying to people over and over again, you've got to do your own work. You've got to do your inner work. You have to do your healing work. Mediumship is not just about connecting to spirit out there. It's about doing all the work in here. You've got to, you know, take care of yourself. Raising your vibration is blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, I was like, oh, okay, fine. Fine, I'll do my own work. So I've been doing my own work for a while. You know, it's how
it goes. Oh my gosh, though, that's so true. That just resonates. Like,
so I knew hard. It as I was telling people, like, as it keeps coming up, I'm like, oh yeah, this message is for me, isn't it? Fine, I hear you. I know this message. Oh, fine, this message is for me. Yeah, yeah. I feel like half the messages I gave people were just for me.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, am I helping other people or am I just getting things for me? No, but so that's just kind of where I've been. So I've been in this kind of strange space. One of the things I really want to teach more about intuition and connecting like with your own intuition, learning to trust yourself, especially after trauma or hard grief, loss, you know, that stuff that we, you know, experience in life, how to really, or difficult childhood, how to connect in with that and learn to trust it. Because, and to me, it's like, I keep getting down into the, like, there's, you know, there's like, there's mediumship and there's like connecting with spirit and getting clear messages and evidential messages and everything. But then there's all this like deeper work underneath it in order to be able to do it in ways that aren't draining for you, that you're getting the clients that are good for you. Not someone who just wants to check it off their bucket list. Or, you know, it's like that kind of thing. Like I feel like I just keep going deeper. I keep just digging deeper in it. And it's that very deep inner work of undoing those, finding those limiting beliefs and those hurt places, those buttons that we have inside, of like uninstalling the buttons and caring for the self and learning boundaries and practicing them and really listening to the self, yourself, and being a friend to yourself. And I'm really interested in that. And that's really more of like that philosophy part, right? That where you're really living it, where you're really living it every day. And so, yeah, at some point I'll get on with that. I don't know when. Well, the two youngest are 16 and 18. So one day.
Oh, we're close. I have two. They're turning 16 and 18 this month, actually. Mm. So yeah.
Well, one's still 17. I mean, in my brain, he's just 18 already, but no, he's not yet. So it's 16 and 17, mind you. And and they just, you know, teenagers, mine at least, take an enormous amount of time and energy.
They do.
So I do not have the freedom of as much as I thought I would at this point. Yeah. Plus, I also have another job. So, because, you know, life costs stuff. I don't get to just sit around and write books and create courses all day.
I tried to pay my Wii Energies, my electric bill with Karma, but they didn't take that payment.
No, they don't take Karma credit.
Yeah, they don't take
Karma credit. Yeah, but I'm sending you all this good Karma. You've been in my meditations every day this month.
Yeah, I do have to say, though, what you were just saying, Joe, really inspired that intuition. You know, that you're right. Like, we can connect to spirit. It's great that we're not alone, but we have our responsibility of living our life. You know, spiritualism, yeah. One of the biggest attractions for me was that promotion of personal responsibility, yeah. Because there's a power that comes with owning your power and being confident about it. And I think, you know, just like you said, either trauma or just experiences growing up or grief or whatever, I think, you know, that's why you're seeing kind of, I think, the world starting to change in its thoughts and its ideas. I mean, some of it, the change is going down with big, unbelievable, ridiculous fights. But anyways, we'll go there. But I think that a lot of us have kind of, I don't know if we've given away our power or we've dimmed it, or I'm not sure, but I love that idea of you talking about that intuitiveness. I mean, I live all day kind of not tapped into spirit, but tapped into myself. Does this feel right to me? Does this feel comfortable?
Yeah.
And getting to know that. So that'll be, when the time comes, we'll look forward to all of that information.
There you go.
When the time comes, the world.
It'll happen. Well, and that's what happens, right? So one of the things with intuition that is hard, that can be hard, right, is you can ask questions, right? You can ask the universe, well, what about this? Or what about this? It's like, and sometimes the response is not now or not yet. Wait. And you're like, what? But that's just what it is.
Yeah.
It's just, not just yet.
Yeah.
It's okay. Time doesn't exist anyway.
Oh, no.
Time is just a concept. You know, like, so that's just the thing. Sometimes that's yeah. You know, so I feel like I'm still very much in the work in that way. In the, I'm in me, which is one of those powerful things that I learned, both for myself, but also for the students, you know, that I've taught, is that, especially for people who are really sensitive, who are empathic, who tend to get like overwhelmed by other people's stuff, right? Is to stop going out there. You don't need to go out there to get the message. You know, go out there to get spirit, go out the top of your head, you go out whatever. No, you stay in here. First of all, you stay in here and the message can just come to you, right? It's like, I don't stick my ear like over where you are so I can hear you better. I trust that the sound waves are going to like come into my ear where it is, right here in my head. And so the same thing energetically, right? We need to stay in here. We need to know what's going on in here. We need to like get comfortable with this whole like physical being state. It's not always the easiest thing to do, granted. Living in this, you know, biodegradable soul sack can be a bit tricky.
I love that.
Meat sack is what I think one of my kids calls it. It's meat suit. That's it. My meat suit. You know, it can be hard, but this is what you do to have this physical experience, and we need to stay inside it and quit going everywhere else. And quit eating those like little tasty potato chip energy snacks out here and out here and out here and out, you know? We need to be in here, because that's how you hear intuition. It's within yourself. Mm. And that's really, for me, that's been like kind of my best connection with spirit, is from within myself. And it's the safest way to do it and the healthiest way to do it. It's one of those things that like, oh, I'm teaching this to other people. Okay, Joe, go learn this yourself now.
You know, but this is the thought that even the teachers are always students, you know.
Oh, like, yeah.
I don't know.
I've learned so much from teaching. I love it. I learn so much all the time from teaching. Because you're in that energy and in that space, and then people ask questions, and And you have to really kind of think about it and feel into, well, how does that work? And how would I describe that? And how do I teach to you this thing that I kind of intuitively maybe know how to do? Like, how do I tell it? Like, how do I?
Yeah.
It's really cool. I love it. So I do miss teaching, actually. I've always loved teaching, and I miss doing that, but it's all right.
You'll get around to it again, right?
Perhaps. We'll see. You know.
Who knows where it goes, right? Who knows?
That's part of the fun.
I love it. Well, Joe, I know you have shared so much fun information. My mind is wheeling with one intuition. Now I'm never going to forget meat sack, potato chip, snacks.
Potato chip, energy snacks. It is though. Like I know I've done it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes if I'm not careful, I'll still do it. Drive down the road and person at the bus stop, and I'm like, you know what they're feeling and thinking, and I'm like, stop it, gonna reel myself back in.
That's
even that, Joe.
I love it. That's gonna be a good it's a good reminder. It's a good practice. Now, you know, again, I thank you for being a guest, Joe, on Who Are These Spiritualists. And if somebody, you know, so this goes it comes out the third Sunday of every month in the evening at 7 p.m. Eastern time. You can find us on the Lilydale Assembly Facebook page or Lilydale Radio. And it's great to share this time and space, not only with you, Joe, but anyone who is tuning in and seeing this. Feel free to leave comments, but this is recorded, so we're not going to be able to answer questions live. But if there is a question, Joe, that somebody might have for you, or they feel connected and want to reach out, what's the best way that they might be able to get a hold of you?
My website, which you can want the URL for that now, which alightintuition.com should get there. A bunch of ways. You should be able to get there a bunch of different ways. If you Google me, you should be able to find me.
Google Joe. you'll find them, and I will put in the comment link when this goes out on Facebook, their website, so you can find them, bother them, email them, whatever you feel like you need to do.
I confess, terrible about replying to email. I'm trying really hard to get better at it, but I'm pretty awful.
I want to end on another thought, which might take us on a detour, and that's okay. Cool. All the time doesn't exist in the world. So one of the things you said, though, when we first started talking about spiritualism and coming into spiritualism, one of the things that you mentioned that I just like to bring up, because sometimes people forget that mediumship isn't just proving the continuity of life through evidential mediumship.
Yeah.
There's also healing mediumship. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like to me that healing mediumship is really starting to become pretty forward in a lot of our lives, mm-hmm. you know, as people who are spiritualists, like kind of working on that inner work, that inner healing, you know. Is there ways or that you find helpful to heal, to help share with others? You know, like, because sometimes we're just lost and we're running around trying to figure out, you know, how to work on, you know, healing ourselves. Is there like a technique or something that you do that helps you?
Some cheeky part of me wants to say, sign up for my newsletter and I'll send you three steps to fully heal, which does not exist. So, it's like,
I like the cheekiness though. We have to laugh about life sometimes. Yeah. Really.
No, I'm a cheeky one. I'm one of those, like, I'll try this now. And different things have worked. More or less at different times. I'm a huge fan of journaling. I mean, I'm a writer, so you know, but I do love journaling whatever the hell I want to, whatever I'm feeling, whatever I'm thinking, unfiltered, all the emotion on the page. Big believer in that. It helps me stay sane. And I just, you know, like I told my spouse, like, don't read this. Like, this may be a great, if I have grandchildren or great grandchildren, they could read it. I don't think my kids should read it. Like, it's pretty raw. And it's, I sometimes will write a little disclaimer in there as I'm writing. It's like, if you're reading this, I don't really feel this way all the time. I really love you. And then I go, bah! So depth journaling, essentially, and that actually is a class I really want to like put together and teach, because I've had a lot of benefit for myself. I get a lot of body work done of various kinds, a lot of self-care. I am so high maintenance. It takes so long to look after me all the time. I don't have to know how I have time to do anything else. Yeah, I do love some craniosacral therapy and, you know, massage and all of that. I've been doing internal family systems work with my current therapist, and I do love it on my own as well, which I'm really into right now, which is basically that there's a whole bunch of people who live inside of me. Some are, you know, protectors, and some, you know, they try to manage our lives, and some are the wounded parts of ourselves that these like protectors and firefighters are trying to like, you know, keep under wraps so that we can exist in the world. And that's been really interesting to me, like getting to know all the bits of myself in there and make sense of myself. I love trying to make sense of myself. And Reiki is always a lovely, you know, any kind of hands-on energy healing that you can even do on yourself. Like after I had surgery in November, I realized, because I had to sleep on my back for a few weeks, which I don't usually do. And so I went to sleep on my back with my hands on myself, you know, like every night. I just like, you know, give myself love.
Yeah. Love it. I love it. Well, Joe, thank you for taking this time out of your day to chat with me. This has been
my pleasure.
I got a smile on my face. It's a good time. Thank you everyone for tuning in and listening. Again, Google Joe, you'll find them. And
Joe Bartlett, Reverend Joe Bartlett, Reverend Joanna Bartlett, Reverend JY Bartlett, some combo, I will come up. I've got pretty good SEO somehow.
They will pop up on your screen for you. And again, my name is Stacey Sherman, the host of Who Are These Spiritualists? You can find us on Lily Dale Radio at Lily Dale Assembly. We hope to see you, if not in person in Lily Dale, when our season opens here coming up in June, or always check out our stuff online. So have an excellent day, and thank you for listening.